760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Greater Atlanta and beyond. My name is Josh Harris with the Dream Team of Catholic Radio, just the holiest people in the business.
Yeah. We are striving for that, Josh.
They are glowing right now. I'm joined by Allison DeLule and Dave Savage.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And we are thrilled to be with you this AM. Thanks for hanging out with us. And before we get started, let's do the most important thing to light this fuse up. That is tee off with some prayer. Allison, can you help us out?
I sure will. Let's start with the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you in faith, trusting in your loving care and protection. As we face the dangers of ice and snow, we ask for your divine protection over us, our families, and our communities. Shield us from the harm that winter weather can bring, and keep us safe from accidents, falls, and other dangers. Send your angels to watch over us as we travel and work, and help us to prepare wisely for the cold and snow. Lord, we especially ask for your mercy upon those who are vulnerable, those who are homeless, the elderly, and anyone without shelter for the storm. We ask that your Holy Spirit grant us peace, courage, and wisdom as we face the challenges of this winter. May your protection be a refuge for all, and may your love warm our hearts even when the cold surrounds us. Through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, St. Michael the Archangel, and all the saints, we place ourselves in your care. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Well, is it going to be the big one tomorrow?
It's looking like it, yeah.
I mean...
Oh, so you're buying the hype.
I am.
We're going to go back into this conversation again. No, I mean, something's going to happen. I think that when I was listening to the news this morning, and it's going to warm up a little bit and then turn to a wintry mix, but then it's going to get cold and freeze. Mm-hmm. So I don't think there's going to be as much snow as they were initially expecting in certain areas. It's going to be more...
More of a mess.
Yeah,
I was on the National Weather Service site, and it said 100% chance.
Of snow?
Of all of it.
Josh does not look at the weather. Josh, you need to listen to my weather forecast say it here.
I am really ignorant to weather anything. I just kind of I really should pay more attention to the news. I think it can just, I don't know, sometimes I stay away because it can get you riled up a little bit. Certain sides can just...
Some things you just don't need to know.
Exactly. But I really should, because somebody was someone I work with and do some creative collaboration work with, actually a vocal coach, was supposed to send me something, and I was like, okay, well, she's like, I can't get it to you now. We've got all the power's off. I was like, oh, sounds like an excuse to me.
But it's not.
And then she was like, well, now we've got to relocate. I'll send it your way once you find shelter. I'm like, well, the hits just keep on coming.
They're in L.A.?
She lives in L.A., yeah. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize that this is so here I am looking like the most insensitive person on the planet, you know.
And that's definitely
your house is about to burn down, but you can't send me that thing?
Yeah, exactly. So, I'd sent her my prayer. Anyway, I sent her a message expressing my prayers, and I'm going to reiterate that again today. But it's, sometimes if you have your head in the sand, you can kind of look like a doofus.
Well, and I don't know if you've seen any of the videos or pictures from out there. It's
bad.
It's just scary.
You showed me one this morning, and honestly, I hadn't seen anything like that. It was like something from a sci-fi movie.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like half of the city was in flames.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We need to keep them all in prayer.
Pray, definitely.
Absolutely. Well, I think that our half an inch of snow will also... should also beckon the prayers and compassion of the entire nation as well. What do you think?
Absolutely.
I think maybe send them first to California, but keep us in your prayers as well.
Yeah, we'll get through it.
Well, and I know, I'm thinking of Josh, how you're not necessarily aware of the weather. I mean, when you have kids and they hear about it in school, so you know what? I'll give you a pass that you might not know all the weather, because there might not be a reason why you need to know what's going on weather-wise.
When I was a kid, snow days were the most exciting things on the planet I mean, it was just the greatest thing ever. It was like you might as well have stepped out of the door and told me I was in Narnia. It was incredible. And then
you were.
Yeah, we would go sledding, and it was just like the most exciting
thing.
I remember one time I went out, and this is when I got my dog, and we went. I put my dog on the sled, and we were going. I mean, it was just it was an adventure, so man.
Was he willing, or was this forceful?
It was court order.
I can just see you just putting your dog on his leg.
Yeah. Anyway, it was just always an adventure, right? When it was snowing as a kid.
Oh, yes.
Totally. Well, and I grew up in Michigan, and I remember...
You got real snow.
Yeah, there was a blizzard in 78 that we were out of school for well over a week.
Mm.
And there was a snowdrift that like went right up our... Like, you couldn't even tell the difference between the snowdrift and the roof of our house. Like, it went right up the side of the house.
Wow.
Like, it was just... And that was fun. I was building tunnels through the snow and everything.
When I was reminiscing, too, when we lived in upstate New York, I was pretty young, but I remember the snow plows coming, pushing the snow over off the road, and we would make little huts in there in the snow, too. So it was fun.
Lots of fun.
Well,
I don't think there's going to be any of that, though,
no,
with this snowfall.
No,
it's mostly going to be, like, freezing rain and sleet.
Yeah.
And
but isn't there supposed to be a little snow in the morning?
Yeah.
And it actually is going to be cold enough to stick up until, like, I don't know, 11 or 10 or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and then the afternoon, that's when the freezing rain and the sleet and everything comes.
Yeah.
So are they expecting any accumulation of snow up until when the temperature shifts?
Yeah, and some accumulation maybe of freezing rain and sleet, too. So there could be power outages and tree limbs down.
If you're in North Georgia, though, it's probably going to get pretty
up in the mountains.
Dicey.
Yeah. I think they're going to have all snow up there.
Wow. All right, so from the Quest Atlanta weather forecast, I'm going to be up in North Georgia with my camera. We're in the heart of Atlanta!
And your dog and your sled.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh, you guys are hilarious. Okay, well, we got a great show coming up today. Father Rivak from St. Clair of Assisi in Ackworth is going to be reflecting on today's gospel with us. Okay, I need your help with this one, Josh. Chuck, of course, is going to be back with us talking about St. John Newman. No. It's a different one. The first male American saint. So, no, this is a different one that we're going to be talking about today.
Wasn't it spelled the same as St. John Newman?
Yeah, but it's pronounced differently. So this is a different one.
Okay.
Again, I never knew about him, so surprise. Great.
Well, we'll have to check that out when Chuck comes in here.
It's going
to
be amazing. And then also Deacon Bill Donahue from Prince of Peace and Flowery Branch, he's going to be talking to us about the Infusion event coming up this Friday, January the 10th. It's an evening of prayer, praise, worship music, and purpose. And then coming up next, we have Tim Shevlin. He is our friend, and he is a Catholic trainer and parishioner at Immaculate Heart of Mary. He's going to be talking to us about different types of diets.
And by the way, give Allison a standing ovation. She's right. It's John Neumann.
See, wow. I know.
I looked it up. Rhymes with Toyman.
I'm telling you. So Neumann, I've never heard of him. I think of Newman. So it's amazing what we learned
here.
And
I'm thinking of like Curly on the Three Stooges. Neumann, certainly.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
We are back with Tim Shevlin of FitCatholics.com. That was an S, right?
Correct.
Tim Shevlin, FitCatholics.com, parishioner of Our Lady of the Assumption in Brookhaven. And we got a pretty big question today. I know Allison does.
And I know you do, too. But I'll be the one to say it. So, question, Tim. So, we know everyone's nutritional needs are different. And as a personal trainer, we'd love to get your thoughts on popular diet trends out there, like paleo, Whole30, Mediterranean, carnivore. What are your thoughts?
I mean, these are all popular things. And some people will claim, I got on X diet and my whole life turned around. I mean, you see people talking about dementia and they are having reversals because they are going Mediterranean, or people saying this particular dietary fad stopped my inflammation. But I love your thoughts on the legitimacy of some of this stuff.
So I think they all work to a certain degree. If you look at most of the diet trends that are currently out there, they all go to natural grass-fed meat, organically raised, pasture-raised, everything like that. In my opinion, if you are doing everything as close to how God created it as possible, you're going to get healthier. You're going to lose weight. You're going to feel better no matter what. So if you're doing, and Paleo and Whole30, as far as the ones you listed, are really probably my favorite only because that's really the basis of those. You know, with the exception of greens, they say, you know, no greens. But other than that, it's getting close to earth. It's you're rendering your own lard. You're eating grass-fed beef. You're just eating natural foods. And, you know, so I think that's a great program. Now, let's say you go to carnivore and you're avoiding everything except meat, but you're supposed to eat grass-fed meat. Well, eating grass-fed meat and only grass-fed meat is a lot better than eating McDonald's. You know, it's just, it doesn't matter how you slice it. You can cut out whatever part of the food that you want. If you're eating naturally, it's going to be better for you.
Yeah, better than two all-beef patties, special sauce, and a sesame seed bun?
Absolutely.
But there must be something special in that special sauce, though. You're saying it's not Whole30
approved?
But
that's not carnivore if you're having the special sauce or the bun.
That's right.
Okay, so that's healthier, way healthier than the alternative, especially.
Right, and that's what most people are eating. You know, so like you've got someone who's got Alzheimer's or cancer, and all of a sudden they switch their diet. Doesn't matter which one of these diets they pick, because it's for the first time in their life, they're actually paying attention, you know, and they're eating real foods. So it's going to be better. Across the board.
I heard a neurologist one time at a conference talk about, try to eat things with no more than four ingredients.
Yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely.
That breaks it down.
Well, yeah, it makes it simple. You can only eat whole foods.
Now, paleo is a little different, right? You have a little more flexibility.
Yeah, a little more flexibility with paleo than you do whole 30.
And what is paleo?
It's essentially whole 30 with a little more flexibility. No, it's it's getting back to the, you know, just being as natural as you can. And it's, you can choose from all kinds of different foods so long as it grew from the earth or was raised on the earth. You know, you can't eat processed this. Now, what they've done with that, though, is they've created like, you know, wraps and things like that that are made with these coconut husks and different things. So, yes, they are processed. And, yes, they're... If you look at it a certain way, it's not really processed, but, you know, that it's starting to get into the, we want to sell something, so we're going to create this and still call it paleo, even though it's really not, it kind of bypasses the overall premise. Whole 30, though, it's, you know, it's pretty strict.
And that is pretty much, it's a whole food or it's not.
Right.
That's,
yeah.
Okay. Wow. Interesting. I remember, a friend of mine back when I was in seminary, and he went all in on carnivore.
Yeah.
And he tried to get me to join the bandwagon. He's like, come on, man, carnivore, we got to eat like the cavemen. I just remember looking at him and go, bro, do you know how long cavemen lived on average? 18 years. I actually looked it up. Average lifespan of cavemen, 18 years. They're putting the dye back in diet is all I'm saying.
You know, and it's interesting. I've seen different apps out there that kind of track what might be better for you. Mm-hmm. And when I was at Trader Joe's one day, this lady was talking about an app called, is it Yuka? Have you heard of that?
Have not heard of that.
So, and you scan the barcode of the product that you're buying.
Really?
Yes. And it goes through if it's poor, if it's bad, and it gives you a rating of it and the nutritional quality within it. So I was kind of blown away by that one. So sometimes I'll be going through the store.
Yeah, there are a few apps that I've heard of that are like that, and they can be very handy. But again, the easiest way is to just eat real food.
And go around the sides of the grocery store, right?
Yeah. Or go to the farmer's market or go to the local farm.
Yes.
Go to your, you know, get to know the people that are growing the food.
Yeah.
That's how you know it's really good.
So what are your prescriptions then? What is your typical prescription for a client? Like, would you, is it case by case with nutritional
needs? Absolutely case by case.
Okay.
Yeah, everyone's different. What we try to do is try to make small modifications.
Like, let's say they are on a pretty processed regimen. You don't just say, throw it all out, start from scratch. You try to kind of like, do you incrementally?
Yeah. Most of the time, if you throw everything out and start from scratch, it's a great idea for a week, and then they can't do it.
Yeah.
So we make small changes along the way, and I find that has the best results.
Wow. So it's gentle, small steps until they step back and go, wow, we've covered a lot of ground. My whole diet's totally different.
Absolutely.
But there's a way that was palatable, not overwhelming.
Right.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, Tim, for another enlightening segment. And hey, I think that's maybe a takeaway here. Regardless of what the diet is, sometimes we can put a lot of pressure on ourselves to make these huge changes, but perhaps we should just take some small, start off with some small steps, unless it's your doctor's orders, you know, or something like that. That that's different. But a lot of times, incremental makes the most lasting changes.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Well, we are with Tim Shevlin of Our Lady of the Assumption in Brookhaven, founder of FitCatholics.com. Thank you so much for helping us fuse faith and fitness.
Thank you.
Matt Swaim here. Join Anna Mitchell and me tomorrow morning from 6 to 8 for the Sunrise Morning Show on AM 1160, The Quest. But for now, let's return to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It's 8:19.
Father Rebeck, priest at St. Clair of Assisi in Acworth, Georgia, is back to reflect on today's gospel reading. Welcome back, Father.
Thank you very much. I say this every time, but it's true every time. It's so good to be here in the studio with you guys. I love spending time with y'all.
Oh, we love it, too.
Great we like here. Spending time with you.
Thank you. I paid them $20 to say that, everybody.
He didn't. We love him.
they make me pay to come and do these reflections. No, I would do it, though. Okay, so here we are, a couple days after Epiphany, and we were reading from Luke chapter 4. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news of him spread throughout the whole region. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by all. He came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and went according to his custom into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up and read, and was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to captives, and recovery to the sight to the blind, and let the oppressed go free, and proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him, and he said to them, "Today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke highly of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. That's the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I love this gospel. It takes a little bit of time to unpack it all, with more time than we have, but there are two things that kind of jump out at me that I'd love to talk with you guys about. The first is what that Spirit of the Lord means and that he's saying it's being fulfilled. That's sort of referring to a Jubilee year, which is a Sabbath year. It's a time where Jews had to forgive each other their debts. They had to release political prisoners, like, you know, you threw people into a pit because you didn't like them. Well, you have to let them out on that Jubilee year, right? And then it resets. You have to return patrimonial land to people if they've sold it or if they've lost it in a bet or whatever. It has to go back to them. There's no sowing. And there was more sowing the year before so that you could make up for the Jubilee year. It's meant to be a whole year's worth of Sabbath.
Wow.
So Christ is coming to say, "I am here, and so the Sabbath is here." Right?
Wow.
And so who he is the manifestation of what the Jubilee year has only up to that point been a foreshadowing of.
Wow.
So they would take a full year off.
Yep. And so for us to say this is the year of our Lord, 2024, 2025 now, gosh, wow, it's 2025. That is to say we have been meant to be celebrating and enjoying a Jubilee two millennia because it's the year of the Lord, right? And we remind ourselves of that every Sunday when we have the Sabbath. That's how Christians celebrate the Sabbath, is to remember that we are in the Sabbath life of the kingdom of God in our Lord Jesus. And so he came to do that. You know, this is one of those places too, where at the end, you're going to throw him down a hill because, you know, they ultimately don't like what he says, but they start off by being like, wow, this is really great. He's saying great things. So,
wow. So in that moment, then when he is saying that, he is using Isaiah's prophecy to emphasize that he is the fulfillment of the Old Testament promises.
Yeah. All of the promises that were coming in the Old Testament, because the Jubilee was meant to be almost like an artificial amplification of what the law was meant to do. Again, all of this is like a gift of foreshadowing, which is meant to fail to maintain the hunger in people to want what was promised, that what is given isn't quite up to the snuff. Mm. So that when Christ does come, it does fulfill all of those promises. I mean, this moment is the time where he kind of really first reveals himself, who he is. Nobody knows it. Nobody understands that that's what he's saying. And lots is going to have to happen for him, for people to kind of, but he walks in basically and he says, I am everything you've been waiting for. Wow. Nobody understands what that means. But he just walks in and he declares it.
You know, I'd be honest, that'd be a pretty sweet icebreaker for a first date.
Yeah. So tell me about yourself. Well, I'm everything you've been waiting for.
We're just, I'm here, you're welcome.
That's right.
That's a father, that's a really, it's just such an understandable and relatable way to phrase it. Thank you for that. I think about, too, what St. John Paul II said. I have this quote here. Christ not only proclaimed liberation, but he himself became the liberator of those enslaved by sin. Do you ought to think, when he gets up and reads this and sits down, that's not going to sit well with some people, I'm assuming.
Yeah, well, it says the eyes of all the synagogue were on him. They all looked intently at him. It's like you could hear a pin drop. You know, and if you've never been in an ancient synagogue, of course, they're all ruins now, but have been blessed to go to the synagogue, in at least in Capernaum. It's a large stone room with benches on the walls, and it's probably dark. It's probably lit by just flickering oil lamps. Mm-hmm. There's probably shadows cast all over the place because no windows, but there's a door, but with a curtain over it to keep the sound out. So it's, you know, you can imagine this dark sort of flickering lit room and Jesus just rolling up the scroll and now sitting down, and everybody's just... what's going to come next? Partly because they're like, okay, well, dude, what does that mean? Partly because they're like, you know, they're in awe. But to your point, some people are like, did he just blaspheme? Like,
because when you're looking at the scripture here, the news of him spread throughout the world, the region, he taught in their synagogues and was praised by all. I mean, and pretty much that's where he grew up, right?
That's where the incredulity comes from. Yeah. You know, in another place, or maybe even just later in the scripture, they say, well, we know who this guy is.
Correct.
He's just Mary's son. You know, and he's just Joseph's son. Now, presumably at this point, Joseph has died, but they remember who Joseph is. They remember. And this is part of why Joseph kind of has to step out of the picture. So when Jesus talks about my father, they know that he's not talking, about, he's not talking about Joseph. Right. And so presumably Joseph is already out of the picture here. But they're like, you're just lame Jesus. You know, we think, oh, Jesus has been doing all these miracles. And people are amazed at him who don't know where he's from. People who know where he's from, they're like, wait a minute. We know who you are. You're not that special.
We've known you for a long time.
Yeah, Jesus hasn't been that special up to this point. So here's this guy who's just ordinary guy, lived in Nazareth. He's been wandering around. People know he's been wandering around preaching, who comes into the synagogue and says something this grand. I mean, he's essentially saying, I'm the Alpha and the Omega.
Yeah.
You know? And they're like, huh? There are people who are going to want to believe right off the bat. There are going to be people who are incredulous right off the bat. There are going to be people who accuse him of blasphemy right off the bat, right? But now there is this general sense that they're amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. So he's saying more in this sermon than just the scroll and I am the fulfillment of this. He's saying more words here. He's saying beautiful things. He's probably talking about the Jubilee. He's probably talking about how God has now fulfilled the time for his people to live in a perpetual Jubilee, right? And they're like, that's wonderful. But then he says, I am that fulfillment. And they're like, huh, you know?
Isn't it kind of, I think for me, it's a scary call to action at times. Am I willing to say what God has called me to say or do what he's called me to do, even when it's going to mean disdain from a lot of people?
A lot of people think that the priority should be in just keeping a tacitly practicing Christian in the church. You know, precariously perched person on the fence, right? It's better to keep the truth from them and not say anything hard so that they just kind of stay there. Well, staying there doesn't get you to heaven. Making that willful choice because you're well-informed on the gospel makes you. So bringing somebody to a decision point is sometimes the best thing you can do for them. And that's kind of what Jesus is doing here. He's like, he's like, okay, here's the Jubilee. It's fulfillment. Everybody's like, yay, that's wonderful and beautiful. And then he says, I am that, and you have to do it my way, right? And that's when people are like, wait, we know who you are. We don't like what you're saying. And they grab him and they throw him down the hill. That was beautiful. It was angelic. I hope that.
I think heaven was doing a harp solo because you were crushing it so hard, Father.
So, Father, what's a good takeaway for us?
Well, I think Josh hit the nail on the head. I mean, Josh started down the avenue of we need to proclaim the truth in season and out of season. And not so much worry about whether or not people are going to throw us off a cliff after we do it. And just do it because it's what the Lord wants us to do.
Amen.
And that's the courage the Holy Spirit gives us.
Thank you, Father Michael Rivack from St. Clair in Ackworth. We are super grateful.
Happy to be here, as always.
It's 8:27. I am Allison DeLuel. From Catholic News Agency, Brazilian nun Ina Canabaro Lucas, who is 116 years old, has been recognized as the world's oldest living person following the death of Japan's Tomiko Ituka. Born on June 8, 1908, in Brazil, Sister Lucas has dedicated her life to religious service and education, teaching Portuguese and mathematics across various Brazilian cities. She attributes her longevity to her faith, stating, "The Lord is the secret of life." Sister Lucas is the second oldest nun in recorded history, following French nun Lucille Randon, who lived to be 118 years old. In 2018, on her 110th birthday, she received an apostolic blessing from Pope Francis, commemorating her as the oldest living nun in the world.
So how old was the oldest nun? She was, what, 118?
118.
And this nun is 114?
116.
116. So she's got like two more years to break the record.
Isn't that interesting? That's, I mean, I think we should be using that for like RCIA sales pitches. You want to live long? Join the team.
Triple digits.
Yeah.
And we also have something from Catholic Vote. A devastating wildfire in the Pacific Palisades has destroyed Corpus Christi Catholic Church, leaving only a steel frame behind. Fortunately, the priests are safe. The fire has also forced the closure of 65 Catholic schools due to evacuation orders, power outages, and unsafe air quality. The extent of the damage to Corpus Christi School is still unclear, though some buildings have been heavily affected. Four other parishes are at risk, with some under evacuation orders. Archbishop Jose H. Gomez has called for prayers, especially for those who have lost their homes and livelihoods. The wildfire has scorched 16,000 acres and destroyed over 300 structures. It remains 0%, contained, which is, that's horrific. The Archdiocese is focused on supporting displaced families and finding alternative schools for affected students. So let's keep them in our prayers.
And I would assume Catholic Charities is going to be out there. I didn't see anything that they are, but I don't see how they wouldn't be.
I think they must be front and forward.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak. Coming up at 10 this morning on AM 1160 The Quest. Join us for more to life.
But now let's return to the Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
Chuck Persner is back with us, and he is going to be talking to us about another exciting saint. And again, this one is another one I haven't heard of before. So welcome back, Chuck.
All right. Well, thank you, Allison, and thank you, Josh. It's good to be with you both.
Oh, it's the best to be with you, Mr. Chuck.
All right. Thank you. Well, another look back segment for us today on this ninth day of January, because back on the 5th, which fell on a Sunday this year, we remember St. John Neumann.
Mm.
And he is not to be confused with St. John Henry Newman, the English cardinal who was recently canonized. Mm-hmm. And he's perhaps better well known, the latter.
Yeah.
He's probably better well known. But St. John Neumann, very interesting guy, born in the year 1811, born in Bohemia in what is now the Czech Republic. He did discern an early call to the priesthood and in turn made his intentions known to the bishop of his diocese. But his bishop informs him that he will not ordain any more priests. There were too many priests, seemingly
wow.
An unfathomable scenario.
Yeah.
In light of today's day and age.
Mm-hmm.
But there were too many priests.
Wow.
But undeterred, he began to write letters to other bishops all throughout the world. And the Bishop of New York responded to one of his many letters. And I thought this was interesting. He was so determined to become a priest that he walked nearly 600 miles from his native Bohemia to France. And then he sailed another 1,000 miles to New York.
Wow.
Which is where he wound up and landed, arriving in Lower Manhattan with a suit of clothes and a dollar in his pocket.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was Bishop John Dubois who oversaw the Archdiocese of New York who gladly welcomed him. After all, there was only 36 priests to serve the 200,000 Catholics that were living in the state of New York.
Wow.
and parts of northern New Jersey.
Ooh.
So here we had a situation. And, again, it shows perseverance leads to what we find here today. He did find an opportunity. He found a place where priests were, in fact, desperately needed. And 16 days after his arrival in the year 1836, John Neumann was ordained a priest of the Redemptorist Order, and he was immediately sent upstate to your area, Allison, up to Buffalo, a little further
look
up.
Look at that.
I believe also he was the first ordained Redemptorist priest.
Yes, Redemptorist, yes.
In the United States.
Yes, that is true.
Wow.
Yep. Yep. Pretty that is cool true. That stuff. Was an order that took root elsewhere and has since made its way to this country. And I know a number of Redemptorist priests. I know you have Father Vincent on quite a bit. I believe he's a Redemptorist priest.
Yeah, we'll have to do a little homework there.
Yeah,
but you know what's interesting, too? He arrives here. I mean, just to put another feather in this guy's cap, speaking limited English.
Mm. Yes.
So he's literally about to change the world, but change the United States with what it sounds like not a ton of skill or comprehension with the language.
Yeah, but I think what we're going to see as we talk about him, the Holy Spirit takes over.
Absolutely.
In a way that is really astounding. And in fact, Father John Neumann took on the role of missionary, focusing on places and territories that had no churches. And he would just tirelessly administer the sacraments, teach the faith, pour himself out to God. Like St. Paul says, I am pouring myself out like a libation. You know, and it's the gospel quote I thought, or the reading I thought of when I heard him say that.
And you know what? As you're talking about all this, St. John Neumann is the patron saint of immigrants, educators, and sick children. So I totally can understand immigrants, hence he was an immigrant.
Absolutely.
Educators, he was teaching all those. But for sick children, so.
Yeah, it is interesting too. Yeah, that's good for our listeners to know.
Oh, yes.
Because especially this time of year with colds and flu and things like that, to seek his intercession so they can continue to go to school.
Well, and he was assigned to serve the German-speaking migrants in Western New York and traveled extensively, like you said, across rural areas, you know, administering the sacraments and often riding on horseback to reach isolated Catholics.
Wow.
Yes, enduring harsh weather and different conditions, difficult conditions. I want to say this, though. I'm assuming this is referring to after he had some time in the United States, but he spoke multiple languages, German, Czech, Italian, English, French, and Latin, which enabled him to connect with diverse immigrant communities within the diocese.
12 languages.
I mean, I barely.
Wow.
Yeah.
12 languages. 12 languages fluently.
Gosh.
And in fact, the immigrants he encountered were so impressed with his linguistic abilities that they oftentimes assumed he was their countryman.
Wow.
That's how flawless he was with these languages. I mean, 12 languages, that therein lies his gift. Amongst other things.
Absolutely.
See, I speak English like it's a second language, okay?
Sometimes I disagree, Josh. Here's a good quote from him. Everyone who breathes high and low, educated and ignorant, young and old, man and woman, has a mission, has a work. And again, going out there to all these people.
Yep.
He brought that to them.
And through dogged determination, he continued to chase his. Even when doors were closed, he continued to look for the open door, which of course took him to New York and to Philadelphia. He was 41 years old when he was ordained Bishop of Philadelphia. And, you know, Philadelphia and elsewhere throughout America at that time, there was a major influx of immigration, particularly from Europe, but elsewhere too. And this was where his uncanny ability to quickly learn these languages, Josh, as you said, he mastered Italian, Spanish, Dutch, Gaelic even, and fill in the blanks, however, to get to 12. That's how many others he knew. And, you know, he oversaw the establishment of 81 churches, as well as numerous hospitals and orphanages. This is where Allison comes in, where he was the patron saint of
sick children. Yes.
So at the time of his death in 1860, there were nearly 100 parochial schools, and enrollment grew from 500 students to 9,000.
Wow.
From the time that he was there.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you know, he was beatified by Pope Paul VI in 1963, later canonized by the Pope turned saint in the year 1977. And then, Allison, I think you had a quote from his canonization mass in the year 1977 from Paul VI.
I sure do. The quote says, Father Neumann's love for people was authentic brotherly love. It was real charity, missionary and pastoral charity. It meant he gave himself to others. Like Jesus, the good shepherd, he laid down his life for the sheep, for Christ's flock, to provide for their needs, to lead them to salvation. And through all these quotes and story of his life, absolutely, it speaks that.
Yeah, it's just another reminder, and we talked about this yesterday. Souls are brought to Christ by way of encounter, not arguments.
Yes.
Amen. He introduced the 40 hours devotion to Philadelphia, encouraging Eucharistic adoration and devotion among the faithful. What a rock star. And published catechisms and other religious works to educate Catholics in their faith. So praise God for that bishop's yes to his I guess it would have had to been a handwritten letter at the time.
Well, yeah, you know, I was thinking about that too. He's reaching out to all of these bishops all around the world. There was no email. There was no postal system
what
of anything
been the
to speak of.
Right? Time on all that. You
yeah,
think?
You wonder. You know, it probably this must have been a long process. It's not like doing a Google search. Who needs priests?
Yeah.
Boom. And then addresses come up and names come up, right?
Yeah, it's not like he snuck into the guy's DMs on Instagram,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
This was a labor of love fueled by tenacity and a call from Christ.
Yep, perseverance. And through perseverance, we see that he has this sublime gift for languages. Amazing guy.
Amazing.
And Neumann often highlighted the role of the Blessed Virgin Mary in the life of a Christian. He emphasized her intercessory power and encouraged devotion to her as a means of drawing closer to Jesus. So again, he realizes the mother of Christ is always pointing to Jesus.
The Queen of Saints.
Amen.
St. John Neumann.
Pray for us.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest. Finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
Well, we are back for an action-packed segment. If you were, I guess if you're, how old? If you're 35-ish or older, this one's going to really touch you. I don't know, really. More like 39. You have to be, I mean, you have to be born in like 85 to really appreciate this.
And Dave and I appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely. Should we set the...
Set the mood up. Give it... Come on, crank it up. Here we go. Drop it. Come on, where's the beat? Okay.
There we go.
I'm trying to...
I like this. Okay, so okay. You like the move and groove. Now... This is a very special segment, and it's called Things You Could Do in the 80s That You Just Couldn't Do Now.
Oh, boy, this should be good.
It's a good one. Oh, absolutely. Okay, I got a few ones. I know Dave and Allison, you might have a few as well.
Absolutely, we do.
Short shorts on guys.
Oh, my God.
No bueno. Do you remember these
in
the 80s?
That was the style, yeah. I wore them.
I mean, they Umbros. That's what they were.
I remember Umbros, but they weren't super short.
No, they could get short. Umbros could get short.
Don't, well, I had weren't too short.
Okay, well, maybe I just was punished and got shorter Umbros. Let me tell you, bros should not have been wearing Umbros back in the day.
Oh,
at least in my time.
It's more like a bro.
Yeah, kid, there you go. Hey, I'm going to steal that. That's funny. All right, numero dos. You guys ready for this? Smoking on an airplane.
Yeah.
You could turn a Cessna into a steam room at 30,000 feet. Do you remember that?
Well, not even a Cessna, but commercial airlines.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and they had ashtrays and everything, yeah.
Yeah, that's, yeah, I don't know, man. Like, and if you don't like it, tough, right?
Yeah.
I hope you can parachute.
I think they had a smoking section, but a lot of good it does. You're in this tube.
Yeah. I mean, at 30, that's pretty, tough, I guess. Now you can't even vape without getting, like, a lecture and, in your mom's basement without getting a lecture as a kid, right?
Yeah.
I mean, praise God, they have much more, they're much more conscientious of the health risks of all that, but, hey, back in the day, anything goes.
Dave is loving
the music. All right, what were you saying, Allison?
You know what? Showing up unannounced was on there.
Mm-hmm.
And I even think of now. I mean, I, as a mom, as a woman, my goodness gracious. If somebody did show up unannounced, I still would be terrified.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, it was cool back in the day. You just kind of, I remember just knocking on people's doors before cell phones were rocking and rolling and just, yeah, hey, what's up? Okay, neighborhood kids here. Now it's breaking and entering if you just show up.
You might get shot.
Yeah. Especially with text messages. Okay, here's a good one. Picking teams in gym class.
Oh, what memories come up with that?
Yeah.
Not good. That was kind of
especially
like...
Especially not good if you're the last one picked.
Yeah.
Wasn't that always interesting?
There was one kid, if he was in my class, he would get picked after me. But I was always the last one. If he wasn't there, I was the last one.
It was just a demolishing of self-esteem. And everyone gets a blue ribbon, by the way. So
yeah, in sports. Yep. Yeah, everybody gets a... Everybody... Now, I think now everybody gets a...
Mm-hmm.
A trophy.
Hi, I'm Father John Ricardo. Join me for Christ is the Answer today at noon. But now, let's return to the Morning Quest with Josh and Allison on AM 1160, The Quest.
It is 8:48 here on the Morning Quest, and we are so thrilled to have Deacon Bill Donahue. He is a deacon at Prince of Peace in Flowery Branch.
Chuck Persner is back.
No, Chuck Persner is not with us. It is Deacon Bill Donahue. Deacon, welcome to The Quest. We are so happy to have you.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, and you know, we see that the event is supposed to be tomorrow, Friday, January the 10th. How is the weather looking before we go into the details of this exciting event?
Well, looks like we're going to have some winter activity, and very likely that we're going to have to postpone this event to another date.
Okay, but not a problem, but we are going to talk it up because it looks absolutely amazing. And I have the flyer here, and I love how it says, start the new year with praise, prayer, worship, music, and purpose. So tell us a little bit about infusion.
Well, in simple terms, infusion is when you add something to something else to make it better. Sometimes infusion of capital or infusion of new ideas. In this case, an infusion of praise music and prayer and worship to help either ignite or reignite or increase an intensity of the fire in our lives as we're challenged to live out our baptismal graces and evangelize and make disciples.
Oh, that's marvelous.
Wonder, and now, is this your first time doing this, or is this a recurring event?
It's the first time. It's sponsored by our Alpha team at Prince of Peace. And the team was looking for ways and how they could present and support and encourage our parishioners. And I think it may have come out of an Alpha conference that the team went to earlier this year, and they came back fired up, literally, to do something in the church that would empower folks and focus on spreading the good news, pointing the way to Jesus as John the Baptist and Mother Mary and Andrew and others did. But this weekend's gospel is about Jesus' baptism, where he says he'll baptize in spirit and fire. And we want to do our part to support the fire in our parishioners to go spread the good news.
What an exciting event. And I love, it just sounds like such an incredible evening of faith and fellowship and participation. That's great. Is there a place people can go to sign up or learn more?
Yeah, basically popfb.org. So that's answer Prince of Peace, Flowery Branch.org, popfb.org. And you're right, the night's going to be with our talented praise music team.
Oh, nice.
Reflection by yours truly.
Nice.
Deacon Bill.
Time for individual prayer and reflection. We even have prayer partners available to pray for and with our guests if folks would like that.
Yeah, Deacon, question for you. If somebody is maybe not super duper into their faith yet, but they're hearing this and they're intrigued and they're interested in learning more, what would you say to them? I mean, come. Well, is there a way they could be there and have somebody there to talk to? Is it welcome to everybody?
Absolutely. You know, we'll go back to the old hymn of all are welcome, and that's certainly the case. Whether you're have questions and just, as you said, intrigued to come. It'll be open and a great night for anybody wherever they are in their faith. And sometimes I would say for those that may even be saying, well, I'm pretty established in my faith and I'm good. I don't need anything more. I would challenge those folks that sometimes we have a lukewarm faith and we're hoping to fire that faith up a little bit. One of the things that you say, you know, if you have a steaming hot cup of coffee on a day like today, it's really something to be enjoyed and savored, and mm-hmm. you look forward to another one versus a cup of coffee you've had on the counter for about 10 minutes. It's still coffee, but it's not great, and it's not something you look forward to. So we would challenge our parishioners to reflect and ignite their faith. So it's something that when it's introduced to others, they're savor it, they enjoy it, and they want more of it. And that's what we're going to try to do. And at the end of our Infusion event, we're going to invite those that might be have questions or want to learn more to attend our Alpha course. The next one we have at Prince of Peace starts on Tuesday, January 21st. That's an 11-week course that answers those faith questions and provides an opportunity to learn and to be in fellowship and to have questions answered and to ask questions about faith in Jesus. So for those that have lots of questions, it's a perfect time to maybe get fired up literally and then attend the Alpha course that starts on the 21st of January.
You know, and Deacon, if I am not mistaken, with Alpha, I mean, the person doesn't even have to be Catholic necessarily to come in and learn about the faith and learn about Jesus, correct?
Absolutely correct. And it's a wonderfully, we think, non-threatening environment where you meet and share a meal, watch a 30-minute video, and then spend 30 minutes with questions and answers and sharing with your group, which you don't need to share or you can share. Very warm and welcoming environment for folks to settle in and learn about their faith, meet other folks, and grow.
And it's, I think it's important. You know, we've had many conversations with priests and deacons and even hearing Father John Ricardo on some of his talks talking about, I mean, we're in a very lonely stage where many people just feel alone and they don't feel like they're a part of a community. So this event and Alpha sounds like a great place to make community, to build community, as well as to grow and to understand who our amazing God is.
Amen. Amen. We agree 100%.
Wonderful. Well, we hope you guys check out this amazing event and stay tuned. You can check their website. Will you please share that site again so we can know where to stay tuned for more info?
Sure. It's popfb.org.
Amen.
And not only there'll be information about the infusion night and when it's rescheduled, but also there's the information about the Alpha course. So we invite people to go there and seek information, and there's always some phone numbers and follow-ups and call if you want to schedule or sign up. We'd love to talk to folks, and we'd love to see them at the Alpha course and the infusion night after we get the snow and ice shoveled off our driveways and our cars tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Well, and that's the thing. I think we also have to say that it may not happen tomorrow night, but if you go to the popfb.org, mm-hmm. or we're going to have it on our Quest Atlanta event calendar as well. So you can do that as well.
And we appreciate that very much. Thank you all very much for promoting
Thank
it
you.
And supporting it and getting the word out.
Hey, man. Thank you so much, Deacon Bill Donahue
so
from Prince
Deacon.
Of Peace.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Mm-hmm.
And what was our, what are we supposed to remember here?
Josh. Romans 12:1. Dave, I know you're ready for the pop quiz. I've been studying in adoration, okay.
Well, I remembered Romans 12:1.
Then you're good. Okay, so I think I can do it. Allison took my Bible from me.
Yeah, let me see if you know it, Josh. Come
Therefore,
on.
I appeal to you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our spiritual worship. Wait, did I get that right?
You know, you did. And what I love about that, present our bodies as a living sacrifice. I mean, our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So I love just when you dive into the actual verse.
Yeah. Now, I spent some time in it. I was in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And if you get the opportunity, part two, I would say give yourself the chance to do part two next week, which is do not conform yourself to this world, but by the renewal of your mind, transform yourself by the renewal of your mind. Shoot, I forgot the next one. That's why I got it. Okay, I'll have it tomorrow.
So we'll have it next week.
Yes, okay.
And we probably won't be here tomorrow because of the weather.
Oh,
we're going to pre-record
a
show.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to see if I... Do not conform yourself to this world, but by the renewal of your... Okay, I'll get it later. I'm in the hot seat. I can't remember
Glory
part
be
two.
To the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.